Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas.
I don't know what's going on right now.
That's all right. Hey, it's all good. Welcome to the show. What's today? July 20th?
July 20th.
Oh, my gosh. Can you believe it? We're over halfway through.
Right, but I'd rather go back to the 110 degrees, which is
no
humidity.
I know. Well, it's funny because we're complaining about the humidity, but it's like 26%. Vegas is used to 6%, I guess, and that's why.
When we say it's a dry heat, we mean it.
And that's what we like. We like the dry heat, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'll take 110 if it's dry because
right.
This humidity is just killing me, man.
Oh, I know. 100 degree plus the...
Plus 35%.
Yeah, exactly. We're not used to
and
that.
And it won't rain. You look at the clouds, you're like, rain.
I know, right? You get a sprinkle maybe if we're lucky. And then, of course, people are like, come on, go back to Florida. Go wherever it's like. 90% humidity, 85%. It's like, well, I understand that, but then again,
right?
You know, it's not consistent.
And then you watch the clouds, and the clouds just stay above the mountain,
right?
In the whole perimeter of Vegas.
So we're just like down in this little bowl.
And I just want the one cloud to follow the
to
sun.
To come over.
Just follow the sun. Just stay
right.
In front of the sun.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing, like when you're driving.
Well, thanks for joining us, Mr. Gary. Hosting along with myself tonight. The man on a late mission, Mr. Gary Wyatt. What's up, man?
Doing things.
All right. Things are good. If you're doing things, we're good. Here you
all right,
go.
Everyone, back to your assigned spots.
All right. Here you go. We're all good.
Nobody told me we were on already. Because it's usually you. You're the one out there doing 2 minutes and 2 seconds.
We were too busy being
Chuck
on.
Chuck Willery. Yeah. You're doing the Chuck Willery.
Yeah.
Hey,
but back in 2-2.
2-2.
That's right.
2-2.
I made it 10-10.
Oh, wait. Well, I think I'm aging myself.
When I was a little baby, I used to watch
all these
that.
Kids are like, who?
Chuck
Is he a YouTube influencer?
He's an influencer, but not like he used to be. He's not a game show influencer.
Gary, on the top. I put some on the top.
Oh, cool. Water.
You want water?
I got a water.
I'm late to this party, so.
Better late than never.
Yes.
Is that what they say?
That's right.
I'm going to take a drink of my humid water here.
Anyways.
But anyway, yeah, no, when you're driving around, it's amazing. As soon as the cloud covers the sun, like the air conditioner works.
I know, everything's like works like it's supposed to. It's like, hey, this is good. Nobody's calling, complaining to me about stuff not working.
It's like, you know, in 2 miles, turn left. And you're like, yeah, no, there's sun over there. I'm just going to take this alternate route going straight for another.
We'll stay next to this semi-truck for a while. Shady
hopefully he
side.
Don't move or turn.
Right.
Oh, well. But, yeah, it's been.
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, you know, we were used to just the no clouds. And then, like you said, the dry heat and the sun just blasting on us and. 105, 110. Then we get these little bit of clouds. We're like, we like it.
The clouds are fine. It's the humidity that's...
And he's cool. Again, we're complaining about 26, 27, 30% humidity, whatever. But, yeah, that's because we're used to 6%, mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is or less. So
back east is 80, 90%.
I was talking about that. But
and that's
I'm
why
late
I,
to the party.
But
so
it's
I,
80 or 90.
That's why I live here.
But it's 80 or 90 degrees, 80 or 90% humidity, you know. But well,
and that's why I moved from Chicago to here.
Right.
Because the winters
plus
were cold.
The crime rate. You live because of crime rate there.
Yeah.
Too, yeah.
Well, now.
Okay.
Well,
there was no crime.
I think I was part of the crime rate when I was there. So.
They were happy you moved.
I needed a little getaway.
So when you moved, the crime moved.
Yep. And the crime rate.
No, the crime stayed there.
Oh. The crime rate went up in Vegas when he got here.
Uh-huh.
No,
I've been on my best behavior since here. It's good, except
mm-hmm.
for once. But
mm-hmm.
were you moved here with your family or yourself or
just me and my fiance at
the time, which is now my wife.
Okay, I was going to ask if she was from there. I didn't know.
Yeah,
if
no, she's from Chicago also. Yeah.
Really? Cool.
Yeah, no, we met there, and long story short, my best friend growing up, you know, we lived on the same block. He moved out here with his dad. Well, his dad was going to move out here, and he moved out for a short time.
Right.
And he said, hey, there's room on the truck if you want to go.
No way. Oh, wow.
And my wife's mother and stepfather lived out here. So she called them up. She's like, what would you think if we came out in Tobago? And, you know, they were like, yeah.
You're right.
So we're like, all right. And we threw our crap on the truck and moved out here.
Just left everything behind, whatever was there.
Oh, not too fond of my family anyway, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I move, that's what I'm going to do, just take my clothes, leave everything else behind. Yeah.
Just short of what we did. Just packed up everything.
Wow.
And left.
You're a pioneer. Pioneer.
I don't know where I'm moving to, but I'm going to, when I move, I'm going to.
You're going to go somewhere.
That's right.
Okay, that's good. That's good news.
And here we are, what?
I don't know.
28 years later.
Yeah, is that all?
So I've been here
still
longer.
Trying to figure out what you want to do.
Yeah. So I've been in Vegas longer than I was in Chicago. So I guess now I'm a vegan.
You're vegan, vegan. You're not a vegan, you're a vegan. Okay.
I don't know if I can still class myself as a Chicagoan. Because I'm Chicago born.
I have to say
that I was born there.
Do they call Chicago dogs, or they just call them dogs?
Dogs.
They just call them dogs.
We call them Chicago
dogs.
They call them dogs. Do they have good dogs there?
Oh, yeah. And you can get them anywhere. Like,
really?
The street vendor has better hot dogs than the shit that we can get around here.
Right.
Sorry.
It sucks because I like Chicago dogs. Well, what I know as Chicago dogs. You know, I've never got a Chicago dog in Chicago.
Have you gotten a Chicago dog from Portillo's?
No.
In California?
No.
Have you gotten one anywhere in the Midwest? Indiana? Ohio?
No, I wouldn't call
Wisconsin?
It a Chicago dog instead of the Indiana dog.
Oh, no, but I mean,
it's the Indy dog.
If you had a Chicago dog in the Midwest,
yeah,
it tastes more like a Chicago
dog. So they're all pretty.
Yeah, it's a Vienna hot dog, and then just the way it's dressed, and there's no ketchup.
Hmm. Well, that's not a hot dog if there's no ketchup.
There's no ketchup, and don't ask for it if you're in Chicago.
They'll kick you out. You need mustard, bro. No ketchup.
Do not
mustard.
Ask for ketchup.
Huh?
You ask for ketchup for your fries. But do not ask for ketchup on your hot dog.
Accidentally, like, kick him off of your hot dog.
Yeah, you might get jumped in the parking lot.
Why is that?
It's just the way that it was, way that it is.
Well, I thought we get the inside from this 28 year ago news from Chicago dogs.
It's just the way we grew up. That's the way it always was.
You know what I like back in... the only place I know you can get it is in Maryland. It's a crab pretzel. I don't know why they're not anywhere else. A beer, and I'm not a beer drinker that often, but ice cold beer and the crab pretzel. You got to have. If you ever go to Maryland or anywhere in that area, you got to try it. I don't know if anybody else has been there, but there's a couple variations of it. But it's like a cream cheese mix, and they bake into this big soft pretzel. The pretzels are like this big. And, you know, of course, Maryland crab, it's really good. And they bake it.
So the crab is baked into the bread part?
But it's kind of mixed in with the cheese and stuff that's baked onto the pretzel. Yeah, it's really good. And, you know, and I like crab, but you got to try it. If you ever go to Maryland, check it out. But try it in two or three different places. It's kind of a local thing because you get a couple of variations, but it's really good. Any variation.
Well, that's what's funny. When you're out here or, you know,
right.
California, whatever, you find, like, Chicago food that tastes close to home.
Right, but it's not quite.
But it's not, because then when you're in Chicago, then it's the big fight of this pizza's better than this pizza.
Well, you know,
this hot dog's better than this hog in the same town.
Right.
But when you're out here, anything close is just, I feel happy.
Well, you know, but part of that is the ingredients, the availability of the right ingredients. Because I was talking to this one guy who's a New York pizza guy. You know, he's like, well, he tries his best to make the best New York pizza. He says, but he just can't do it because the ingredients are a little bit different than he can get here than he can back.
Well, it's the same thing with the Chicago pizza.
Holy crap. Hello.
What the hell's going on?
Same thing with the Chicago pizza. It's the Lake Michigan water.
Mm.
That's what makes the dough do whatever it does.
Right.
So a lot of the places here that do like Chicago pizza.
Well, and that's what he was saying too, like the water. Just the everything the way it comes
They have filters.
With the
they have filters in the restaurant
too.
That try to match the alkaline, you know, to try to match that
mm-hmm.
water. And then
how about Flint, Michigan? How's their pizza with the Flint water?
Yeah.
That's right.
Radioactive.
Yeah, radioactive.
But, yeah, I know years ago there was a restaurant here in town. It was Bono's. They used to have Chicago hot dogs. And they actually used to bring in water because they would order the Vienna hot dogs from Chicago.
Wow.
So they would come on a truck. So they would order all the ingredients from Chicago. And then they would also get gallons of water. And it's just tap water. Like,
right. Right.
They just send the water to make the dough.
Crazy. Well, you know, anything to try to give it the authenticity of the local dish. You know, that's why I like traveling. Like, I like to find it wherever we go, trying to find a local restaurant that just has, like, local dishes. You know, yeah, we always end up eating somewhere where it's kind of universal, but at least once to try to figure out a place that has local stuff because you can't get it anywhere else, you know,
right.
Wherever you go. That's pretty cool. But
when you go somewhere and you're like, hey, what's good here? Oh, you have to try blah, blah, blah's ribs or somebody's whatever.
You know what I do now? I look up that diners, drive-ins, and dives and say, hey, have they been to this town? Half the time, the restaurants are closed, you know, unfortunately,
right.
You know, that he's been through. I don't know if he steals their recipe and then they'll put the and they close them down. I'm just joking, by the way, so don't sue me.
Next on the Food Network.
It's a joke, yeah. We'll wait for you.
Yeah, we'll wait for
you.
Yeah. We'll go on a break and wait for
you. But that's part of the fun. I mean, we do that. You know, we go somewhere like you talk about Bojangles or somewhere. You know, you can't get that out here.
Hey, I just looked up Gary, Indiana, since we're
already looking at the food. You know what? That's good. Yeah, we've
been Indianapolis to Gary, Indiana.
Yep, there you go.
Hey, I'm already up. 2 hours.
See?
2 hours and a half. 2 hours and 27
Gary, Indiana. What are you looking up there? Just because it's Gary?
A hot dog.
Oh.
Chicago dog.
Chicago dog.
I already looked up Chicago.
All right. We'll find something there.
That's right.
You know, Indy's got, I'm sure, some of their own.
Last time we went to Louisville, and this time we'll go to Gary or Chicago.
Sounds good.
I don't care.
How far is Chicago? That's a ways away.
No. Give me a second, and I'll...
I don't want to go to Chicago.
Why?
It's violent. It's violent there.
It's never too violent.
Violent.
We're only going to get hot dogs. I don't care what they're doing.
We might need a gun to... I guess we could buy one on the street there.
Oh, I'm sure there's all kinds for sale.
But that would... Wait, that's... I won't get into politics, but...
2 hours and 35 minutes.
It's a little ways. I've been to Chicago before, but...
Oh, that's East Chicago.
No. Well, I don't know. Is East or West Chicago good or bad?
Oh, I don't know. We'll get there. I guess we're going to have to walk to the airport.
East side in Vegas is, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
2 hours and 35 minutes. We're in.
We'll find somewhere.
That's right.
We'll find a local whatever. Talking about PRI, so PRI show this year is going to be interesting because they haven't been, you know, doing anything last year. Of course, they didn't because of COVID. So we'll see what interesting things transpire.
What the new stuff is.
Yeah, it's always cool to see. And maybe we'll get some snow this year again.
Again.
We got a lot last time. Now, I keep thinking last year,
like,
but it's not.
2 days in a row. Yeah. 19, I think we went.
Yep, December 19. And I think it was later.
Or was it December 18?
No, it was 19. Yeah, it was December 19. We missed 20 because they didn't do anything in 20. It's now 21.
I thought we went to...
We were supposed to go to Reno in 20.
Oh, okay.
And we didn't, so now we're back.
18
to,
was Reno.
Yep.
19 was Indy.
Indy this year.
20 was Reno, but we didn't go. And then.
So, hey, we're back to Indy, so.
Hey, we can't. Yeah. Yep.
We'll be in Indy. We'll see how that goes. It should be interesting. It should be cool. It's fun to get away and check out the new
always
racing technology.
Especially with the Uber app. It's always fun to get away.
We don't need an Uber.
The Uber will tell us anywhere to go.
We don't need an Uber. Will we?
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, it might Uber.
If we want to be safe in Chicago.
And last time you wanted to walk like 100 miles, man. We parked.
No.
We'll Uber this time. We will Uber this time. Man, that's,
you're the one that wanted Uber.
And you got to remember, like, it was cold. I got COVID that year.
Oh, yeah. You wasn't feeling all that good, were you?
Well, the first day.
Hey, I can tell you that, like, steak we ate was good.
Yeah. I couldn't taste it. I had COVID. No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah. That was good. You know, it didn't meet the local criteria that I wanted to.
That's because there was 12 inches of snow on the ground.
Yeah. We did get some good steak there, yeah.
Prime rib.
Prime rib, oh. Yes. That was worth it. That was worth
prime rib.
Driving, what, a mile or whatever it was, hotel in Super 6 snow.
The restaurant was a mile away, but it took us an hour to get there.
Right. Yeah, it was, I hope we miss the snow.
Don't keep hoping for it.
I hope to not get it. Anyway.
It's going to be a fun trip.
It'll be fun either way. But no racing for us this past weekend. But there was racing this past weekend. Are they still racing in Peron?
Yes, they raced this past weekend.
Oh, did they?
And then... Irwindale race this weekend.
Oh, cool. Did is Mojave story? They're off for the summer, I think. Mojave,
yeah,
right?
I think so.
Darn it. If you haven't been to Mojave to see a dirt track that's in the area, it's pretty cool. So hopefully when they open back up, you get a chance to go check it out. It's fun.
Hey, now.
Track. Uh-oh.
August 7th might be something to go see in Irwindale.
Oh, no, they have a race then.
August 7th, NASCAR Racing Chain Racer Figure 8 and Fireworks. I remember when I was much younger than I am now.
A couple years ago,
they had chain races in the dirt at Corona Raceway.
Oh, no way.
Wow. They handed you a 20-foot chain and said, figure it out. That was it.
So was it a full-size pulling a mini, or how did they do that?
I do remember there was a station wagon pulling a Corvair.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure it's like when your wife is stuck on the side of the road and you go to pick her up and you hook up the tow strap. And you go to go, and you, like, take your foot off the brake, you're screaming out the window, and then she's braking before you get to the stoplights. Pretty sure it's a lot like that.
That always makes me nervous, man. I hate pulling, towing stuff like that.
Because you need to, you want to be both.
Right.
And I don't know how it is here today, but back then, the front car was the motor, the back car was
the
brakes. I don't know how it is today, but it was just a couple years
ago. And you can... talk about dating ourselves. Gary's dating himself because when's the last time you seen a Corvair? Let alone on the racetrack.
Yeah, really, to be torn up. Now they're all collector's items.
Yeah, back in the day, it was okay to tear those.
Yeah, you wanted to tear those up. Oh, it's just a Corvair.
Hell, I saw a Vega the other day.
No way.
Yeah, it was like in good condition, too.
Driving around?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
I was like, wow.
That's cool. You know, it sucks because that's a gold, but... You know, there's that kind of, it has some value, but nothing like, you know, a real car. I'm just faking.
A real car that has a computer that is made in wherever, Taiwan, that, you know, doesn't work now.
Well, the computer is made in Taiwan, the chip's made in China, so. Was Taiwan in China?
Either way, there's no new cars to be had.
No.
So now the used car prices are going up. So anyone who's selling their vehicle, make sure you do another search for your car value, because more than likely it went up by a couple hundred dollars.
Is it reflecting that on Kelley Blue Book?
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah. That not a NADA, not what do they call that? Because it still seems like they're, I don't know, it's a good guide, but I don't know.
Yeah, I got some email that said that my vehicle went up $325 if you're interested in selling it. So.
Oh.
And then the dealer called, and they're trying to buy this one back and getting me into a new one.
Right.
Because they want the used car because they're making good money on it.
Well, yeah, they make more money probably
on the used car than a new one, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the new stuff. You know, I mean, you know, Thane mentioned that about his work. You know, they had a bunch of trucks that they ordered. They're waiting. They're
there. The trucks are all done, and yes,
but they don't have the chips.
Oh, I'm seeing tons of stuff. Anyone who's been online has probably seen it on social media. The big lots,
yeah,
the Ford F-150s, and then I think they showed a Toyota lot too of the Toyota Tundra.
Well, the Toyotas,
where they just have.
Well,
thousands of trucks.
Well, so what happens? Toyota is one of them. The I think currently, like the Toyota truck, anyways, is the most, you know, selling the most or whatever. But that's because you can't get anything else. There's nothing left of the Fords and the Chevys and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you got left? The Toyota. So you got to buy the Toyota. If you're a Toyota person, they're good trucks. I'm not knocking.
Well,
it.
No, the Tundra has really good reviews.
GMCs and stuff. You know, it's just. Even though it's probably more American than some of the GMCs and Fords, it's still a Toyota.
Right.
I don't know.
It will always be a Toyota.
Yeah. And I'm knocking Toyota, but
I have an 81 Toyota.
Yeah. Hey, I've had Toyotas. I've had a little bit of everything, I think. So I like them all.
Hey, I learned stick shift on a little Toyota Celica.
Yeah.
Piece of crap.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It was a Flintstone mobile where you can, like, you know, see the road, do the floor pan.
Well, that was the car itself.
That was the one stuck in the snow.
Yeah.
No, it was probably. I think it had water damage, whatever. I don't know. I got it for like $400.
Dang.
But it lasted, it, you know, just babying it. It lasted me a year and a half, but I learned stick shift on it. So, you know, it was enough to, yeah, if I blow the clutch, I just park it on the side of the road, throw the title in the dashboard, and leave it.
So what they do in Chicago?
Exactly. No, that's
are you nice enough to leave the title? Or,
yep, just leave the title on the dashboard. Towing company will come pick it up, and they'll just junk it or...
Dang.
Nope.
It's hooked up to these.
Figure out what's wrong with it and fix it.
Yeah. Buy sheet metal.
Uh-huh.
Tub it.
Put carpet under it.
Yeah, put carpet
throw
over it.
Throw sheet metal and then put some carpet. Well,
you're lucky to get the sheet metal.
The paint had more rust than paint. It was very zitty. It looked like a 14-year-old kid.
That's one thing we, you know, like we don't have to worry about here. You don't ever see that often the rusted out rust buckets, you know. We're lucky.
Oh, just, you know. Just the water damage in, you know, the inside fenders of the quarter panels, you know, where out here you're not knocking looking for Bondo there.
Right.
You know, yeah. Every car you're walking
yeah,
around
you're
with a magnet.
Checking it right, you're knocking it and hitting it with a magnet or something because you know it's got rust on it somewhere.
Yeah.
Or has or had depending on the year of it because all the salt and stuff that you
throw
for the snow. Ugh. That's why we moved out here.
That's why we moved out here.
Oh, well, we complain about it. But then
so we can get raped by DMV fees. I mean, that's the advantage of being back there was it was $50 and they smogged for you. You just drove there and they smogged you and gave you your license plate.
Really? But they had a smog, though.
Back when I left, it was, yeah, you would smog. They would hand you your plates. It was $50, flat fee, $50, and you were done.
Wow.
Here, you have to, like, you know, pay every idiot. You got a Jiffy smog with your coupon, and they said, "Well, I already started typing it in the computer. I can't take your coupon now." So
just
then that costs you $25.
Tell them to delete you, and you go to the next store down the street.
That's right.
So that's $25, and then here they charge you on MSRP because they think they're California. So it's a prorated MSRP of your vehicle. That's your registration.
Really? Hmm. Well, you know, in California, though, they're smogged every 2 years. Is that still the same?
Yes.
It used to be every 2 years.
I
they're
think
more strict, too.
If I'm not mistaken, and I may be mistaken, but I think it's according to your license plate. if it's odd or even number or certain, somewhere in your license plate, it's got to be an odd and even number, which leads to every other year.
Yeah, yeah, regardless. Yeah, and then like California, they're expensive. They're talking about prorating. So let's say you didn't pay your fees and you go to sell your vehicle, they pass that fees along to the buyer. Somebody's going to pay that. I don't know how they get away with that because that doesn't seem very legal to me, but is anything legal in California except for weed? That's about the only thing legal in California. Weed and running across the border. So there's only two things that are legal there. So
the video I just saw last night, they don't got to run across nothing. They just get out of the water and walk through the gate.
Free plane ride to whatever city to get them out of the border cities, right? All right, we won't get into politics. We'll stop here.
Yes.
That's for another show. That's for another show. Coming up.
Hey, if they can learn to drive a race car, they can stay.
Well, you know,
we can get up the car counts.
But, you know, speaking of that, you know, the diversity programs and stuff are strong because they do look for, you know, the diversity in driving and stuff, whether it's women, you know, I'm reluctant to say minorities because, you know, they're not necessarily minorities, but just diverse set of racers.
Doesn't matter. Look at Bubba Wallace. He still can't drive.
Yeah. No.
Doesn't matter.
But he can throw a beach ball. Or what was that, a football? I'm sorry. He threw a football in the stands the other day.
Yeah.
They were playing catch or something while it was raining or something. I just saw a short video of it.
Dang. Did you watch this race this past weekend, the NASCAR race? Where were they, New Hampshire?
I watched the first couple laps.
That was it? So when Kyle Busch was out, you finished, huh?
Kyle, Truex was out, Hamlin was out, but wasn't worth watching.
So Truex, I thought he raced, like they I'm sure he's in it for points.
Yeah,
or,
but
I don't know,
he was
whatever,
so, you know, a lap down most of the race, so, yeah.
What was Kyle, it? Eric Amarola won?
Yeah.
Oh, is that who won?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's yeah, no, when you got, you know, three good drivers wiped out for no reason.
Which three?
So what happened? What
just
happened?
Just Kyle Busch.
Which three?
Truex.
You said good
driver.
No.
You said good driver.
It's a joke. It's a joke. So what
but there
happened?
Was, there was rain in turn
two? Oh, that's
two?
Right. So that's what it was, right? They had sprinkles or rain actually started raining in the tires that they just
and
put out.
All the drivers said it's raining
and nobody called it,
and all the spotters said it was raining, and then NASCAR let it go one more lap because their corner
was not raining.
Right.
Was not freaking paying attention, I guess.
No, it wasn't raining. No, it wasn't raining in their corner.
Doesn't
it was only raining on turn two.
But that's a tough call because they, you know, as far as the NASCAR officials go, they're probably going by history of what they've done in the past in other races.
No, that's what the NASCAR official or whatever, VP or whoever he was in the announcer's booth.
That brings up, you know, a different angle that maybe you can't always just go by what the history was on that. Just you got to call this race the certain way it is.
Well, I think there's a little bit more than just the rain, because if you talk to, you know, Kyle and Truex and stuff, that a lot of them were saying that the communication was delayed.
Oh.
So not necessarily because of the rain. If a bunch of drivers say something and it takes another two laps for somebody to react to it, that could be a problem.
So here, I mean, obviously there were only, what, two laps, three laps in or something like that.
I think they called it on the...
So if it was further in, I could see kind of being an issue because sometimes there's a lot of strategy involved. So, hey, call it in. We got rain. This will give us this position.
But it was sprinkling at the beginning of the race.
So,
there was mist on the cameras, on the windshield.
But you got to understand, them guys, I mean, I don't know how them guys do it in NASCAR. There are some smart people in each one of those teams. So you got guys that watch the weather. You got guys that watch position. Like, if we call this now, this is going to put us in this position and you or whatever, or put this guy behind and it's going to put, you know, there's so much strategy happening. So it's tough because I can see NASCAR's position on maybe.
But if there was a chance of rain, the race should have been started with your choice of rain tires or slicks.
Yeah.
How do you want to start the race? So now, if it doesn't rain and you started on rain tires, you're, you know, back at 14th because you're
was
not.
There, was there a choice there? I mean,
no, there
at
wasn't.
Any time,
no.
Did they have Goodyear have rain tires there? You know, so, you know, just like, you know, like that would have been on a short track. That's a tough call because we actually could have been in a similar situation during our last race.
Right.
It started sprinkling.
Yeah. It was sprinkling.
We're on slicks.
Yeah, if it would have been a cloud burst, it could have hit pretty quick.
Or, you know, just that sprinkle was consistent. We don't know how much water it would have taken for them slicks to be, you know,
well, especially since
like being on ice.
Since the track sits dormant between races, so yeah, you don't know what oil or rubber or whatever, what's left on the track that's been baked in. Because the water hits it, yeah, you don't know how slick that's going to be.
Yeah, because that brings up the point, like, we were actually on the track or lineup going onto the track, and then it started sprinkling because mm-hmm. I know my spotter said, hey, we got, you know, it started to sprinkle. I'm like, really? This ain't good. We'll just see what happens. And, of course, it typical Vegas style, it just stopped.
Well, just look at – it was a single stream of the axle fluid that came out of the one truck.
Yeah.
And look how fast Gary went around.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't take long.
I mean,
right?
It was maybe a one inch stripe.
If that.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that took that truck and whipped that baby around really quick. It was like skid plate.
Yeah. You know, I smelt it. I seen it coming.
Yeah.
You know, I actually went behind that for a lap or so to see if I was getting
any
oil.
I didn't see it. I had my eyes closed.
I know you held on for dear life, right? You know, so I, you know, wanted to see if I was getting anything on my windshield or anything. I didn't, so I backed off, and then it wasn't. But a lap or two later, it actually went.
Okay, so see, that's the same situation.
Yeah.
So if you relayed to your spotter, hey, there's oil on the track.
Yeah.
But if all the drivers said, hey, there's oil on the track, then the spotters should have grabbed whoever was connected to the booth.
Without getting anybody in trouble, did they have an official... in the official area.
I
like
do not believe
to.
So.
So we need to find out if they did or didn't because no matter what happened, we had no control on relaying anything, any message.
Correct.
We could have been jumping up and down, screaming all we wanted, and it wouldn't have made any difference,
but
which delays the whole program, which we could have been down to one lap instead of a red to say, hey, we need to get a caution, get the guys to stop before there's –
Yeah, luckily Gary spun out and stayed within the track. And, you know, what if he slid up into the wall?
Right. Or if there's multiple,
you know, or
slid up into the wall.
Or the guy behind him slides up, you know, and just when it's not needed. Right. If you all know what's going, you know, any oil on the track is not just going to go away. It's going to be dragged around the whole track. Just a little puddle. Even just, you know, the people that sneak in,
you know,
antifreeze in their cars,
so,
just that little bit.
Who does that?
Who knows?
You know what that should do is bring it back on the responsibility of each team. Like the spotter, that person's spotter knew it was smoking. I seen it smoke for multiple laps.
Mm-hmm.
They should have, and maybe we'll need to talk about that in one of our drivers' meetings coming
up.
But then
the official
need to relay it to their driver.
The official
that
in turn
if you're
two,
smoking, you need to pull into the infield or off the track.
The official in turn two didn't pull them off either.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but he's only
saying,
he's only doing what he's told from
the
tower.
From the tower. I'm saying, as a
well, that's what we're discussing is that communication gap.
I'm saying as it
could be
it should have started with the team itself. Like if so, let's and maybe and I'm not saying they didn't look out for it. Let's say we seen smoke coming from your truck. You know, and your spotter says, "Hey, I see smoke from the right front." Whatever. You know, or coming from the right side. You know, usually you want to watch a lap or two to see it. Is it tire smoke? Is it just something rubbing? Or is it oil? Is something on fire? You know, you don't know. So you kind of look for it. But at the same time, like when that guy's smoking, you can smell gear oil. The team, the spotter for that team maybe should have said, hey, you need to pull into the infield or something like that. Because first of all, it's his own safety.
Right.
Let alone the safety of other vehicles out there. Second level is the track, you know, the track's call. That's a tough call because how long do you let it go before you say it's a safety concern. You know, I don't know. It's a tough call all the way around.
Right.
Hindsight's always 20/20. You look back and say, oh, this, we should have did this, or they should have did that.
But it's a similar situation where I think the
communication
in the NASCAR thing is, why did it take so long? Why did it take, you know, two laps for somebody to make a call? And they should have stuck by their call, because it was more of a, well, we kind of didn't know. We were going to check in with the corner to see if he actually saw, you know. So now it's just, we made the call, but they can't 100% say, this is our call, we're going to get over it. Well, maybe we need to discuss, you know. So then they went into this whole conversation. Meanwhile, you have three cars that...
Well, you know, and unfortunately... Let me clarify that, three cars.
So,
but I honestly, I think they should have been allowed to pull their backup cars.
Well,
and I think the four laps should have been negated, and they should have started the race completely over.
So that's a tough call too, because I don't know about the other two. I know Kyle, he didn't have to race that race. He's still far enough in the points to be in the
correct
chase. But how about the other two drivers? You know, is it fair to them? But that's part of, you know, the whole system to get us the points. I don't know how else they do the point system there, but to get the points when you can early on and all that. So when crap like this happens, you can pack up your crap and just leave.
But it was the beginning of the race. So, you know, you had first place, second place, and I think Hamlin was in fifth place.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it wasn't, I don't think, detrimental to somebody's position of, oh, my God, I would have lost the race because of this.
Well, you never know, too, because, you know, it's so unpredictable sometimes on some of those tracks. I don't know how New Hampshire is, but some tracks are real predictable. Hey, the guy starting up front, he's, for some reason, he's probably going to win or something, you know. But I don't know how that track is.
Still, you could have given him the option. All right, you pull your backup car, but you start in the back. Okay. You know, like, I think there should have been something. To just flat out say...
Well, and again, they probably used to do stuff like that, but there's some team out there that took advantage of that. Okay, guys, let's pull a spin here, and then we're going to back it in the wall so we can get the backup car that's cheated up that they're not going to check, because we can just pull it right out of the trailer and get it right on the track. I don't know. I don't know if that happens. But I can...
I'm sure.
I can see, you know, a possibility of that.
But yeah,
sometimes they say, well, I can't believe how fast my backup car was.
Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily the call that they made. It was the delay in, you have, you know, 40 cars out there, and if half of the drivers are screaming about something, somebody should react to it. There should have at least hit the car
radio
light.
Communication goes pretty quick.
And then, but like you said, maybe it depends on how many drivers, like if three drivers complain about it,
right?
Then maybe it's not a big deal. But if 10 or 15 or how many ever they, you know, whatever, a percentage of them said something, then, hey, we need to do something now.
Pretty much most of them who they interviewed said that they mentioned rain.
Right. And, you know, sometimes it takes longer to realize it's raining when you're not in the vehicle, because the vehicle, you see it on the windshield, you see the spots. We're sitting out, you feel it. Like, I thought I felt something. Could have been the guy spitting next to me while he's talking to me. I don't know. You know, so you wait a little bit longer before you say, hey, it is coming, starting to come down. But I don't know.
Yeah, that's but fun. On the other hand, NASCAR can't shoot from the hip. They got to know what's going on make a decision.
Well,
and it's probably more than one guy making the decision. There's probably 10 or 15 people up there, and I'm only assuming this, maybe even more, that, you know, they all got to go through channels. They just can't shoot from the hip and say, okay, call the race. It's raining. I mean, they got to –
Oh, no, not
regardless,
that. But I think they should have called a caution. If you're unsure, I think they should have called a caution.
Right.
Put on the lights. Slow the cars down. Let's figure out what is going on.
No, and that's a valid point.
Well, which one of them guys, you name one driver out there in NASCAR that would slow down when they say, okay, guys, we're going to throw a caution. Let's slow these cars down.
Well, how do they do their cautions? Do they race to the finish, or the start-finish for their NASCAR cautions? Or how? I don't know how they do that. Like on short track, caution comes out. You get caution
frozen.
Now.
Right.
So
No,
but it's what I'm saying.
I think they used to, but I don't think anymore. I don't think you race. I think it's a snapshot of what position you're in when the lights come on.
Hmm. You know, I mean, a caution was something that to at least they can evaluate the situation. You know, you maintain your position, but.
Right. Well, you can, you know, oh, we were wrong. We're going to do a restart, and everyone starts in the position that they were in.
I could see that what you're saying is like, so you got like 10 people. Nobody wants to be responsible for slowing this race down. So it's like, let's tell this guy. So
all of Hendrick's Motorsports is going to say, hey, there's aliens in the sky. We need to
Manny
Mo
and Jack have to talk about it, and it hasn't passed through all 10 of them three times before the decision is made.
Well, I mean, you got to understand, NASCAR is not going to shoot from the hip and say, okay, stop this race. It's raining. You know, they got cars that they're responsible for to slow down the proper way. So a couple of them, as you say, three of them got wrecked. Well, you know, what if it was the backers that got wrecked? Nobody would say anything about them guys. They're just saying something because they're the known drivers that got wrecked. Or, I'm sorry, that wrecked during the rain. But I feel if there was three in the back, nobody would ever said nothing.
That's my
opinion.
Because if you look at the tape, like, it was just taken out from underneath them. Like, there was just, traction was just gone. No control.
How many cars? 32 started and only three wrecked? I don't know how many started. I'm asking the question. I don't know.
I don't know, because it's normally 40 in the field, but
okay.
So maybe 38.
So then for the benefit of the doubt, let's just say 35 started and only three got wrecked.
Because everybody else slowed down when they saw the three.
Well, there's your answer right there. You just answered your own question. And the three that got wrecked are known good drivers.
And those were the three that said, hey, it's raining in turn two.
Did the 35th car say it was raining in turn two?
Well, I don't remember who the 35th.
He did say a majority of them when they were interviewed did say
because the race did get stopped.
Right, but you gotta.
How many laps in did it actually get stopped? I mean, obviously, when the wreck happened, then they had to throw a caution.
It was raining.
Yeah, but is what I'm saying is NASCAR just can't say, okay, the drivers are complaining it's raining. Okay, we're going to stop the race.
Normally, but if the drivers complain that, you know, there's someone's piece of whatever is hanging, you know.
But they got officials out there looking at that.
Well, those officials can't tell when it's fucking raining?
But you know what?
It's the same official.
Yes and no, they don't shoot from the hip, but they do shoot from the hip sometimes because of what they did do was they obviously during – these races, they have competition cautions, and they decided to throw the competition caution early just because. They didn't give a reason. They said, well, we felt like we're going to give a competition caution a little early just because. even the announcers are like, I don't know why they threw it early, but NASCAR decided they wanted to do it.
Manny Moe and Jack went through their channels.
Yeah, exactly. So I see both sides. Yes, you know.
Kind of, but I think NASCAR, with the competition cautions during COVID, I think that the way they presented it was caution will be at lap 20 about-ish. So if there's a wreck at lap 18, we're going to call
make that
caution.
Yeah.
No, if it's close enough.
But that was the announcer's strategy. You know, yeah, exactly. And that was part of the thing was, you know, hey, fuel. I mean, it was like way earlier. It wasn't like only two laps earlier. It was like enough to where they're saying, well, this could really affect the fuel strategy of some of these
I think it's the kind of track, too. You know, if you're on a super speedway, it's how many laps after a caution do they usually get back to green? Because it's generally two. If it's if the car was able to get off and get to pit road without the wrecker or anybody going out there, it's usually two laps before they go green. So, yeah, if a caution comes out at 18, you're at lap 20 by the time it goes green, so you might as well just use that as a competition caution, makes sense.
And did it? I guess I'm assuming it didn't rain the rest of the race.
They were rain delayed for an hour.
Oh, did they get another one?
An hour and
20
minutes.
Or was that from the initial delay from the fourth? Okay, but after that,
they
got
then they
green
started
and stayed.
Yeah, and then they finished
racing. Okay,
but then it started getting dark.
because
they don't have lights there.
Oh no way! Oh, I didn't think of that. Huh. Interesting.
Now they're going to put flashlights where the headlights
well,
go.
Well, because
put the light to their helmets.
Because it was because we're the second half of the season, so it's on NBC.
Oh.
First half is Fox, second half is NBC. And they're like, well, we have filters on our cameras to lighten it up. You know, we give you the best picture possible. So they like turned off the filter and they're like, it's dark. It's getting dark.
Oh, wow.
So it was like a dark.
You could actually see how
you know,
dark
where,
it really
where the cars
is.
Start to, you know, kind of fade into the shadows.
Wow, and that's scary.
They're like,
too.
It's dusk. It's getting dark. The sun
yeah.
went down.
Wow.
You know, they just turned the brightness up so it looks.
So
looks good
TV,
on screen, yeah.
But the racers are seeing
correct.
A whole different view. And spotters, of course. So that just takes a lot of away from...
Yeah, so it's, you know...
Hey, why not have a blind race, right? Just, hey, bump and run. It's a bump and run race. Oh, that's weird.
But yeah, no, I got... And then Matt Jaskol... Wasn't running Xfinity, so.
Oh, no
but,
way. Not this race.
Yeah,
so mostly you didn't watch it.
Where did they, did they race in New Hampshire also? Or some other track?
I think they were at a different track. They were supposed to be at a road course or something.
Oh.
Or maybe it was at New Hampshire. I don't know.
Interesting. Trucks didn't race.
And the trucks didn't race.
Yeah, they usually race.
Because then I usually
somewhere
watch
else.
Haley Deegan
oh, yeah.
run the trucks.
Yeah. How's she doing? Is she in point? Or is she just running certain races? Or
no, she's full time, but she's young.
What
yeah.
team? What's her the team owner? Is it
Monster Energy?
Yeah, she's running.
Well,
no,
I think she's probably
sponsored
by them.
Yeah,
I don't know
what team owner.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, I'll have to look it up.
But you know,
that's cool.
You know, she's still new. She's young, but she's improving.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah, it's nice to win. You know, and she'll even say it on her, you know, her Facebook things or whatever. Oh, yeah, I'd love to win, but if I know I can't, I'm just trying to keep up and learn.
Right.
So she's slowly moving up, you know. So now she's getting a 12th place and, you know, she'll be towards the end of the race in an 8th or 9th place where now she's not in the
right.
back in the 20s. So she's improving, so.
Yeah, it's just tough because it's tough business, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
as a driver, as a team owner. As there's so much strategy involved in just even the day-to-day workings of that.
Well,
especially, you know.
Plus, I'm sure she, you know, there's some people in the industry that, you know, give her the Danica Patrick attitude.
Yeah.
You know?
She is a woman driver, so what do you expect? I'm just kidding. You know, but it's good to see that. Starting to, you know, stay in the you think you'd see more
right, but it's not like she can't
racing.
Win because you know she'll do all these
yeah.
you know short track races
right.
and just annihilate people,
whip everybody's butt, and then
yeah.
they're like, oh crap, I guess she is good.
Yeah, no, she's talented.
Yeah.
It's just you're learning that truck, that race, that you know, 200 miles an hour. I'm guessing is not for everybody.
I think they should have like a all women's team from spotters to pit to whatever, and see what they can do. Barry, put your money together. Except for the team owner, have a all women's team. Think they could? What? How well do you think they would do?
They'd probably kick everyone's butt.
Without you know, the same treatment as any other team, you know. And then you can't identify as a, you have to be. Gary's like, I know how you can prove it. I'm the team owner. All right, I'll shut up.
This is Susan, our tire guy.
How are you doing?
Right, this is, yeah, Shannon. He's the wall, the refueler or whatever.
Hi.
Yeah,
oh, you guys are so nice.
No, but what I was saying, you know, to be in the pros, like, I don't think even some of the people, you know, they might do really good at the short track, but you're getting up to 100.
But there's so much.
100 maybe?
Even when you get into that level, there's strategy involved because you can bring all the money you want. I mean, look at, what's his name? Kwasniewski, young kid, local, won, what, the Canon West. I think he even won Canon East. into the Xfinity, as far as the Xfinity series, with a really decent team. I don't know how well he did in there. I don't think he did, like, bad. He wrecked, you know, a couple times, which happens. But then all of a sudden it was like, boop. Never heard his name again. I don't know what happens. You know, so it's...
But like I said, I don't think...
And he had some big sponsors that he brought with him.
You know, it's a big jump going from, you know, 100 miles an hour at a short track.
Maybe we'll have him
to 100,
find out what
180 to 200 miles an hour in pro.
I'll see what I can do. Yeah, right. You know, obviously, short track and super speedway racing is, you know, way different than each other. I don't know how they do it. It's some of them, like, kind of click when they get into super speedway racing. They just know what to do. And, you know, some of them struggle a little more than others, but.
Yeah, no, I think it's, you know, same as, you know, some of these drivers that come out of
the legends and stuff
legends
like that.
And, you know,
yeah,
jump into
you know, that's a good point, because that is
a late model, or
that is a big change, because that's a short wheelbase, fast reacting. You know, I've seen him do three or four 360s and boom, you know, they're going, it's just like a little go-kart almost, and you jump into full size. It's way different.
And we've interviewed a couple of people that are like, I went up and decided I didn't like it and went back down.
Right.
So that could be very well the same thing too, is you move up to the pros and, you know, you're losing control, or you're wrecking at, you know, 150, 160 miles an hour. And maybe that's not as nice as, you know,
I mean, there's
spinning around in the, you know,
there's some real strategy, technology. I said strategy over and over, but there is, because when you watch any of those races where they have the in-car cameras, you know, and they're looking at,
if you ever get a
steering,
chance to
speeds.
Go to the pits during a NASCAR race, to go down pit row, just look at their computer setup.
Yeah.
You know, their little
Thingies
that they got, you know, computers and like 10 different monitors. And this one is monitoring everyone's speed. This one's monitoring the car. This one's monitoring this. This one's got the
so
news stations.
On.
This one's got
right.
the live feed
weather
coming off of another camera.
I don't know enough people to get me down there. Sheesh.
No, you're right, though. There's so much going on there. And
but
people that just do certain things.
Yeah, it's a behind-the-scenes thing.
It's amazing. And even to the announcers, I mean, some of them announcers know their stuff, man. They make these calls like, oh, here's, you know, I can't name any announcers, but, you know, someone like Jeff Gordon or somebody announcing, you know, they just know what's going to happen. They here's what he's going to do. This is what he should do or whatever. Then they end up doing the things. You know, it's just really cool.
That's why I kind of like when Fox has the races, because Mike Joy, who's been announcing for years, you know, he knows his stuff.
It's just like
it's a better experience.
It's not just
NBC.
Boogity, boogity, boogity.
For the past 2 years, it was Mike Joy, Jeff Gordon, and Clint Boyer.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a entertaining as well as watching the race.
Right.
But, you know.
Well,
my wife's not too fond of watching them on NBC because Jeff Burton is one of the announcers and he's got that high pitched voice.
Oh.
So then she just, you know, comes in. Hey, you're still watching that race? Yes, I'm still watching.
That's funny. And these guys they can call something like they'll see nobody else will see it, but it looks like their left rear tire is going flat or something like that. It's like,
by a little wiggle.
Just by the wiggle, the way they turn their wheel a certain way or whatever they did, it's like, sure enough, pulling into the pits, you know. Or it's just weird.
Or they'll hear something on the radio. Oh, it's I'm hearing a this sound, or it's making a shake or a vibration or whatever.
Some debris this big gets on the radio, like, oh, they're going to overheat, really?
Yeah.
That's bigger than crap. They overheat. Like, well, from a candy bar wrapper?
Well, because on the grill, the duct is in the center, and then so the more you put the tape towards the right, it does this.
Right.
The more you put but if it lands right on the center, it's going to overheat it by 3. It's like.
Well, and then they're like, oh, they're going to strategize. They're going to. Or pull behind this car to get the wind to, you know, pull it off and go do it.
And it does.
It's like, oh.
And it does, yeah.
These guys know their crap.
Yeah, they just pull right up to the bumper, the hot dog wrapper falls off, and then they just duck to the inside and pass them. And you're like,
everybody's looking at each other in the stands going, that was your hot dog wrapper.
No, it wasn't mine. Your name's on it. That's your receipt. Yeah, that's crazy. Was that a Chicago dog?
I don't know. We went and got that wrapper to find out who threw it, right?
No, I think Chicago Land Speedway got pulled off the,
oh, the
NASCAR.
Oh, really?
For this year, anyway. I think they got pulled off.
See?
So no Chicago
dog, man. Yeah. No Chicago dog.
Too violent,
buddy. Too violent there, yeah.
Too violent at
they
the
racetrack. Can't get to the track without trouble.
Can't get through the gate.
Yeah. You didn't watch any races this weekend?
No, no.
Nothing at the prompt? Haven't heard anything?
No, I got too much other work to do. Yeah. I got lots of work.
I guess we should go visit a track here or there sooner or later.
Somewhere.
We'll make it our plan. They don't... Oh, yeah, because that's winter. I was going to say, they don't have any races in Indy during that time.
No, it snows.
No, no. Oh, well. Whatever.
Yeah.
Any races coming up? Of course, it's summer here. You know, we complaining about the heat and all that. And,
oh, you know, my God. Could you imagine what it'd be like at the track?
Oh, yeah.
No? Oh, he's so miserable.
Yeah. I mean, I had one of our drivers, Lee, you know, he said, I don't race in July. It's too hot. Period. That's it. His backyard and all that, he just won't race. It's just too hot. And you know, you can't blame him because it was hot. And we had a few vehicles, you know, pull off because of overheating.
Overheating,
things
yeah.
Like that, you know. So.
Well, even you said yours, you were what?
Pretty warm.
10 degrees over what you normally run?
About 30 degrees over what you normally run.
Yeah. And usually you stay fairly
220.
Cool, yeah. So
215, 220.
Yeah, so, yeah.
If you would have put some fuel additive in, it would have cooled your engine down a little
bit.
Oh,
well, sheesh, I better do that next time.
Yeah, maybe you would have won by
maybe.
More.
Maybe.
You know, that's tough because, you know, it's hard to keep, you know, any vehicle cool in this type of environment, especially when you're revving up the, you
mm-hmm.
know, yeah. The engines as high as we do, you know, we don't rev them, you know, up to some of these.
Everybody I was following motors, was blocking the wind.
So you need a fresh air, that's all.
That's
you need
right.
out in the fresh air.
That's right.
But I don't know. You know, that was a fun race. Obviously, it's always fun winning. I'm sure it's more fun for you.
Do you actually feel the air movement in the trucks?
No. No.
You know,
I feel my windshield coming in at me because I'm going so fast.
You know, they do make some differences, I think, but it just depends, like on like the quarter miles in Vegas, maybe not as much as like Irwindale or something on the half mile. I know I was talking to Greg, and they've experimented with a spoiler or no spoiler, and they didn't get any difference.
Yeah, but you got to remember
in some of that downforce.
July 3rd. Was the hottest we've ever raced those trucks since we've started this late model truck series.
Yeah, we typically don't race in July and August unless it's late August, and usually there may be a day or two, and we've raced late August before, but dang.
So, I mean, yeah, we got to get that heating under control, but it's not like
typical.
We're racing all the time in July 3rd.
Right.
Any races coming up real quick? That we know of?
The 31st in Pahrump is all I know, July 31st.
All right. I'm sure check your local listings for races happening at your local racetrack to support the businesses that support the racetracks and the teams that have sponsors on the side of them. Look for our local guys racing around town and around these other local tracks.
Watch their Facebook, see where they're headed.
So we support you guys. We're going to be watching Pahrump and some other races around. But otherwise, we'll see you live next week. At AutoWorldNow.com. Thanks for joining us.
Stay cool. Thanks for listening.